We have all experienced circumstances that can either make us or break us. In fact, David finds himself in this position as he calls out to God for deliverance, even though it's his fault. Pastor Jerry Seawright points to Psalms, the 32nd chapter, verses 1 through 4, for our example and our encouragement in part 1 of his sermon called The Blessedness of Forgiveness. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
In Psalms 1 and 27, or 127, rather, in verse 3, it proclaims this: sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. As believers, we are called to recognize that children belong first and foremost to God. God, in his goodness, gives children as gifts to parents. They not only have the awesome responsibility of caring for this gift, but also the wonderful privilege of enjoying the gift. Because children belong to God and are given by grace as gifts to parents, it is only proper and appropriate that children be dedicated back to him. 1 Samuel, first chapter, tells us that Hannah presented her son, Samuel, to the Lord. Then in Luke, the second chapter, verse 22, we read that Mary and Joseph brought their child, baby Jesus, to the temple in Jerusalem in order to present him before the Lord. In the same way, Trace Williamson and Ebony Kelly today bring their son, Jaden Williamson, Mikael Williamson, right? All right, I got it right. All right, and they're presenting him first. They're presenting themselves, I should say, first to the Lord, and then also their son. Amen. Accompanying them today are the grandparents of Jaden, Trevor and DeShayla Williamson, as well as Richard and Carolyn Kelly. Trace and Ebony, I call your attention to the commands of God recorded in his holy scripture. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 7, listen to this carefully. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, yes, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." Listen to this. "And press them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 4 says this: "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." God's instructions are plain. Amen? So Trace and Ebony, love God with every ounce and fiber of your energy and teach Jaden to do the same. As you love God, you will model before Jaden a wonderful love for God that he will want for himself one day. Amen.
This time in our service, we're going to have the commitment of the parents. So just listen carefully, and then I'm going to have you answer some questions, a series of questions. I hope you will answer "I do" to each one of these questions. If it be your intention to present your child to the Lord and to pledge yourself to bring your child up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, please answer "we do" to the following promises. All right. First, do you here this day recognize your child as the gift of God and give heartfelt thanks for God's blessing? All right. Secondly, do you here this day dedicate your child to the Lord who gave him to you? Amen. Thirdly, do you here this day pledge as parents that you will bring up your child in the discipline and instruction of the Lord? And fourthly, do you here this day promise to give your child every possible benefit of home, of education, and of the church? And then lastly, do you here this day ask God's blessing upon your child's life to guide, guard, and to direct your child through all his years? Amen. Anyone who has had a child knows that part of what goes into a child's life is nature, but the other part of it is nurture.
Amen.
It's not just nature, but it's nurture as well.
Amen.
And it is very important for us to model a Christian life before our children as examples so that they will have an example to follow. Sometimes we can be a good example, sometimes we can be a bad example. But our goal and main intention, our goal is to be a good example. So we want to make sure that we model that before the child and the things that we say, the things that we do as well. So modeling this kind of love cannot be done alone. It requires the help of others. For this reason, Trace and Ebony call upon the help of the grandparents.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I now direct my questions to you, the grandparents, okay? By coming forward before God and his people, do you hereby declare your desire to help Trace and Ebony fulfill the vow they have just made? If so, please respond by saying, "We do." Everybody in agreement? All right. Having come freely, I ask now that you enter into the following commitment, so that Jaden may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow, by God's help, to encourage, through praise and correction, Trace and Ebony in their efforts to raise Jaden in the fear of the Lord, to uphold them in prayer, and if anything should happen to Trace and Ebony, to assume responsibility in helping Jaden receive our Lord's guidance and instruction? We do. All right.
Finally, amen. So you, amen, all of that just been said, right? All right.
Amen.
I ask that the designated representatives from the church to make a commitment as well. Will the church representative of Jaden and Mikhail Williamson please stand? Amen. There's an old proverb that says, It takes a village, amen, to raise a child. Parents have first responsibility, however. But parents need help and support of the community, amen? So I direct my questions now to the church family by being present in God's house today. Amen. Do you hereby declare yourself to be a child of God because you trust in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life? If this is true, please respond by saying that. All right. All right. Having come freely, I ask now that you make the following commitment to those who stand before you on behalf of the church, so that Jaden, amen, may walk in the abundant life that Christ offers. Do you vow God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ to help Trace and Ebony be faithful to God and to help teach and train Jaden in the ways of the Lord so that he might one day trust him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying,
I do.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Ask the elders to place their hands on the baby and the parents as we pray. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. Father, we read in your word how precious is this gift of a son. And Father, we ask that the parents do just as Hannah and give this child back to you, Father. And according to your word, Father, help them to preach and live a life, Lord, of Christ before him. Help them to direct his attention, his affection towards you. Father, we ask that he grow up with a hunger and a passion, Lord, to know you more. Father, we ask that you be in his life every step of the way and protect him along the way. And one day he will recognize and he will call upon you to be his Lord and his Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 And I also want to read a letter that we have one day that you all can read as parents to Jaden. And it says this: Dear Jaden Williamson, on April 29th, 2018, your parents came before me, or this church, in the presence of your church family here at New Life Community Church to dedicate themselves and you to the Lord whom they worship and serve. They recognize you as a gift from God and gave thanks to him for bringing you into their lives. They promised to train you in the things of God, looking to him for divine guidance, wisdom, and strength. They asked God to bless your life and make you a blessing to others as you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with his power. As your church family, we have promised to encourage your family or your parents as they grow in the faith and to always be there for you when you need help in living the Christian life that God has planned for you. Although you will not remember this day, I pray that we will always remember the vows we have made to God on your behalf. Now it is up to you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior so that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus and grow up to live a life pleasing to our Lord. And I give this letter to the parents. And I just want to say in closing that this is a very emotional moment for me, because this fellow right here, I remember having him this size in my arms, just shaking him, because he and Jalen were on this road together. And it's amazing that he called upon me to do this special thing for him. So I consider it an honor. Amen. And I also want to acknowledge his great grandparents. If you can just at least wave your hands. Amen. It's just a wonderful, wonderful occasion. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We also have a gift here for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We have a gift here and a certificate as well. All right. God bless you. You take care. All right. Bye-bye.
People in every nation that he raised. upon the mountain and magnify his name to tell all the people in every nation that he reigns. Zion is calling me
once again, saints. Amen, amen. Just join with me in a word of prayer. Holy Father, we come before you once again with a request to hear from on high. As always, Father, we ask to hear from you, to hear your words to lead us in the right direction. Father, we ask that you penetrate hearts and minds. And if they are stubborn against your will, Lord, help them to see a convincing light and allow it to shine, Father, on their conscience and on their spirits, that they may say to you, what must I do to be saved? And Father, for we who know you, help us to be encouraged by the beauty of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. If you have Bibles or tablets, I ask that you turn to Psalms 32 as we continue to just look at various psalms. It's going to be the 32nd psalm. I'll just cover verses 1 through 4, and I'll be before you all briefly, unless God say otherwise. Amen. But before I start, and while you still find that scripture, that's once again Psalms 32, verses 1 through 4, let me say a few things. One is I was very excited about today, and as I stated, the dedication of Jaden. It's just amazing to me how the circle of life just, you know, comes around and it completes itself, you know. When David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. I'm not going to go that far yet with myself. I once was young, but now I'm getting there. Yeah, right. Brother Mike said it better. He said, I once was young, but now I'm not. Yeah. But I tell you, it just lets you know that you're getting there. Amen. The other thing I just want to acknowledge is an awesome gesture that occurred, I believe, yesterday, where the hospitality department went out and just recognized the awesome job that these young folks are doing in that department. You know, I call them the Centurion Guards, because they are on their post and they're doing well, but I want to recognize them as well. They're doing awesome jobs, these young men that I see that's helping out in that department. And I thank the adults for taking the time to acknowledge their commitment. Amen. Also want to say to you all that you're missing a treat on Tuesday. You're missing a treat on Tuesday. And I'm just encouraging you all to come on out and just get a taste of what's going on. All right? It's some good teaching, some good fellowship too. Amen. And it's just some good just meeting of the hearts and minds as we just delve into God's word and what best way to move forward in this church, in this ministry. Amen. And I always say the heart of this church is right preaching, right teaching for right living. Amen. Amen. So let's get to it. As I stated, I'll try not to be before you long. First four verses of Psalms 32 reads as follows. Says, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Wow. Wow. And by way of introduction, you know, one of my favorite female voices to hear sing, and it's hard to say I have a voice better than hers that I like to hear, and that's of Gladys Knight. I just love to hear that voice and her singing. It's just the texture of it. It's like the grit in it and the emotion that pours out of it from within, you know. And it's just so convincing. And like I've always said, when she said he's leaving, you know, I'd rather live in her world than to live without her in mine, too. I got to go. But there's another song that she sung, too, that puts you right there. That puts you right there. And the title of the song is "You're the Best Thing That Ever Happened to Me." And the chorus of it goes, if anyone should ever write my life story, for whatever reason there might be, you'd be there between each line of pain and glory, because you're the best thing that ever happened to me. That was the Pips behind it, right? You're the best thing that ever happened to me. And then someone came along later on and flipped it a little bit and tweaked it and made it into a gospel song. And I'm quite sure a lot of us can say that. That'd be our testimony, that he's the best thing that ever happened to us. And that song came to mind as I was reading this scripture, because I began to think about the author, David, and what he was going through at that time. And there are moments that, you know, that will shape you or break you, right? And David was going through that time. And I don't know if this audience can appreciate that. I don't know if I'm talking to the wrong audience when I'm talking about moments that will shape you or break you, when you are just so drained emotionally and physically, and this thing just got a choke hold on you. And words can't express the pain that you're feeling and the distress that you may be feeling, and all you can do is you just want to just get on your knees and call on God. That was the type of situation that David was in, where he was looking to God for his grace and his mercy. He was crying out for grace and his mercy. And the thing that kind of adds to it, that makes it kind of worse, is the fact that some of these moments that you are into and some of these jams that you get into is because it is your fault. It's your fault. It's your own doing that puts you into these jams. But yet you still want to cry out to God. Yeah, you wrong and you jacked up, you messed up, but you still call out for God. I'm quite sure every age can identify with this. You know, if you live long enough, you've had situations that kind of just, that taxed you. That just was beyond what you had. You know, and you just, it made you want to just fold and give up. I'm quite sure if you lived long enough, you felt that. You felt the pressure of life just at times, just feel like you're caving in. And I'm quite sure if you're young enough, I'm quite sure that you felt it too, because I'm quite sure, like me, you may have gotten that call from mama and daddy saying, when I get there, I'm going to get you. And I've had a lot of those calls where, when I get there, I'm going to get you. And I'm crying on Jesus. I'm calling out to him. I'm practicing my avoiding the belt moves as my mama come. Oh, mama. I need you, Lord, right now. That belt, Lord. And you got a strategy. Maybe if I just faint, she'll stop. Oh, mama. Right? I'm quite sure everybody can identify with these real stressful moments. But if you can't, I know who can. And that's King David. King David had a moment like this. And King David wrote a song about it that's even better than Gladys's songs. Because in this 30-second psalm, that's what he did. He wrote a song about the situation that he was in and how good God was through it all. Through it all. In the first couple of verses, he talked about the favor of forgiveness. And then in the last two verses, he basically talked about the suffocation of silence. And that silence meant that unconfessed sin, that unconfessed state that he was in. Amen. So he talked about the favor of forgiveness. And of course, the backdrop story to this song. Amen. Because most commentators say that this psalm, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, go together. Right? And they go together and they tell you the whole story of or the situation that was going on. But the backdrop, the backstory to it all, you can find in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and through really the 12th chapter. Amen. So 11 and 12 in 2 Samuel, you'll read a story that's better than a novel. Honestly, if you like tea, right? And I'm not talking about the kind you drink. But if you like the 411, if you like to get a glimpse as to what was going on in someone's life, man, read those two chapters. And you're like, what? That brother did what? What? Really? David, really though? Really? You thought you could do that and get away with it? Really? And it starts like a good story, because in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, verse 1, the first sentence says, then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle. And it basically goes on to tell you that no one was there. All the folks were out there going to fight, and David stayed back. And then in verse 2 of that same chapter, it says, because it said in the story, it says, now when evening coming came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. Yeah. And he walked out there and he happened to see a beautiful woman bathing. The interesting thing is about, and I'll just pause for a moment to say this. The interesting thing about opportunities or situations or circumstances is this. They present themselves, but depending on how you deal with it, it's either going to be a test or a temptation. Right? A test or a temptation. Right? If I'm walking along and a $100 bill falls out my pocket, and I keep on walking, to somebody it is a test, or somebody it's a temptation. Somebody will say, "Hey, hey, brother, you drop your $100 bill." Somebody will say, Right? It's either going to be a test or a temptation. Yes. And that's what happened here. David went out and it became a temptation. And David invited the young lady to his home. Things happen. You can read the story, and all of a sudden, when the encounter was over, it seemed as if just a little time had passed, and then she ends up sending a message to David and says, "David, I'm with child." So David said, let me get a game plan. Let me see what I'm going to do. Now, your husband left with everybody else fighting. So let me see if I can cover this thing up. I tell you what, I'll send word and I'll have him come back. And I'll have him come back and I'll just say, you know, I'll give him some, you know, some high praise talk to come, you know, calm down, say, "Woo, brother, you're out there fighting, you know, brother, take a break, go on home, be with your wife and everything else." And he was like, "No, I can't, while my other brothers are out there fighting and everything, I can't do that." So he didn't even like enjoy himself or anything like that. He just chilled and slept with the other folks. Right? Didn't even like spend time with his wife. And David said, "No. What can I do? Let me. Yeah, I sent him food there to enjoy himself. I had a night going on there. I mean, it was going to be like the Hilton. You know, they was just going to enjoy themselves and everything. And he didn't do that, man." So he said, "Let me try it again. Let me talk to him and let me get him a little juiced up so he could just, you know, I'll send him on home." I said, "Brother, hey, and food here and everything, and he's drunk a little bit, and he's going home with your wife, because I got to cover this thing up." And he didn't do it. He slept out in the company of others that day, and he just couldn't do it. So David said, "You know," just to speed the story up, David said, "You know, I'm going to send him back. And I'm going to send him back, and I'm going to send word. Put him in the hottest part of the battle. Put him on the front line. In other words, so that he can die." Right? Put him on the front line of it all so that he can die. And that's what happened. The commander got the message from David, and he knew. And when you read the story, you knew that David communicated the jam that he was in. And so he sent the brother into the hottest part of the battle, and the commander wrote back to David in code. It was like kind of coded. "Hey, what you wanted is done. He's dead. He's dead. Speed the story even up even further. All of a sudden, there was a prophet that came to David. And then he tells this story, and he says, you know, King, I got a story that you need to hear. Yeah. It's a good story too, King. It's a good story. So it was this man that had one lamb, and then it was this other man that had two lambs, one more, right? And all of a sudden, you had a guest come into town, and he said, I'm not going to touch any of my lambs. I'm going to mess with this man's one lamb who he loved as if it was like a child of his. And I'm going to cut that one up and serve that one. And David jumped from his seat and said, who? What? He did what? He needs to be beaten, hung, and killed and everything. Wait, who was it? Who was it? And Nathan said, thou art the man. It's you. But I love David's response. David said, it is me. I've sinned. And I've sinned against God. And it shows that he was truly a man after God's own heart. See, we need some honest people. We need some honest people. David overstepped God's limits. He didn't keep God's standards. He missed the mark. And that's what this song was talking about. He jacked up. But when we read the Old Testament, it says this. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, it says this. It says, for I, the Lord, do not change. You hear that? For I, the Lord, do not change. And it goes on to say other things, but it says, for I, the Lord, do not change. And why am I driving that in? Because see, he's the standard, not you, not me. He's the standard. He sets the bar. And he does not change. And we see in his word that his standards don't change. In the Old Testament, he says the same thing that he's saying in the New Testament. For example, in the Old Testament, in Leviticus, the 11th chapter, verse 45, it says, for I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy. For I am holy. But then when you go into the New Testament, into 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, and verse 16, it says this. Old Testament, New Testament. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. We have a God that doesn't change, and his word doesn't change, and his standard doesn't change, and his standard is be holy, for I am holy. But we need some honest people, because we know holiness was not always on our radar. Amen. We know that we have fallen short. We know that we've jacked up. We know that we messed up. We know that we've stepped outside the lines. When God said, hey, don't step out this line, we did this. Oops. And some of us said, you know, don't God said, don't step outside this line. Some of us was even to this level. Who are he talking to? Huh? Because that's what those words, transgression, that you read in that verse there, it says transgression. Transgression means that he had some limits for us. And what we did is we stepped outside the line. That word iniquity, it says perverted. How many are quick to raise their hand and say, I'm a pervert? You see what I'm saying? But we've perverted his way. We've perverted his truth. Right? We got into this thing. We were out there where we call right wrong and wrong right. But we ain't honest. We can't get honest about just how out there we were. And some say, I was never out there. I don't know who you talking to. I was never out there. Right? I have always been at 296. I've never been out there. But see, we're so blind that we're like David. We get up real quick and say, who's that bogue and that wrong and everything else? And a lot of us can say, you. Huh? There are very few people in my life that I've ran into that are like I call professional bone collectors. But some are so nosy. Some are so calculated that they got to get the dirt on people. I call them bone collectors. They go into it, they try to get in everybody's closet and see what you got in there. So they can be like Miss Jenkins on In Living Colors. Girl, you ain't heard from me I rattled the bones, girl, and yeah, you know, they walking around like they never been, but girl, ooh. Right? It's tea, coffee, cakes, and everything else they got for you. Brunch. And here's the thing, when we are in that state where we are not honest, we can't be where David's at. Right? And we miss out on his mercy and just how powerful mercy and grace is, and how it just comes in and helps us out. Thank you. And here's the big thing. We miss out on love. We miss out on love. The opportunity to love others. And we short God of love too. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 31, it says this simple statement. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. When you are not honest about you, that jacks that statement up. Because you want them to treat you better than you treat them. We miss out on an opportunity to love each other and to love God. I want to read just a few verses for you from Luke, the 7th chapter, to show you what I'm talking about. Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 44 to 47. It's a situation where Jesus came into a home, and when he came into a home, all of a sudden there was this lady, and she came, and she just started just loving on him. She started loving on him. And these verses says, starting from verse 44 of the seventh chapter, it says, turning towards the woman, Jesus said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your home. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. And I'm talking about expensive perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Listen to this. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. When you think you are not that jacked up, when you think that you are not that much of a project for God, you love little. But when you realize just how jacked up you were, how hell-bound you were, you began to wipe his feet with your tears. You began to wipe them with your, dry them off with your hair, and you began to kiss his feet and just worship him, just saying, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for what you've done for me. But we need some honest people. We need some honest people. Because the truth is that, and it's just a line that I've gotten from Elder Williamson, it's hard for a proud person to bow their knees to God. You got to know that you're helpless. You got to know that you're needy. You got to know that you're not worthy. For what he did for you, you're not worthy. It wasn't because you were handsome. It's not because you're gorgeous. No, he had no obligation to come down here. If he had an obligation, the obligation was to send you to hell for your sin. And then he came down here and said, I'll pay the price. And then he goes a step further and said, come unto me. My God, we need some honest people. And if you have that level of honesty, you will see the beauty of Psalms 32. And you will sing right along with David how blessed it is for him whose transgressions, or her transgressions, who's been forgiven, whose sin is covered. In closing, David said, not only did I step out the lines in terms of transgression and then went on the wrong road, but along the way, I was like digging potholes in that road too. I mean, I'm talking about serious cavities. But God did one thing. He forgave me. Then he covered me. He covered all my indeficiencies, my illness, my messed up character. He covered all of that. He covered all of that. He didn't have to do it, but he did. Can we stand? And I say to you all, it's time for some honesty. If you want to know the beauty of God's word, if you want to know another level of love, then be honest. And once you take inventory, you'll see the great things he's done for you. And I know the proper response will be, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. The tears will flow. The praise will be hot. Because you know that you have a God that rescued you from you. And if you want to know this God, we have folks up here that can just tell you just how to do that. And if you want prayer for strength, we have elders here as well. If you need more information about joining us here at New Life, they can also point you in that direction. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.